Bible friends, is the Word of God, and it remains to be so. Word of God shall abide forever. My Lord and Saviour declares in His Word, it is a word for all seasons and for every day and generation. Never a time, occasion when it is not relevant to any person the world over. Matters not where you come from, your background, color, creed, whether you come from the east, the west, the south, or the north. Sin is a universal problem. The Bible presents you with universal answer to the universal sin problem. Blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners. And it is the Bible and the Bible alone that gives you God's testimony, God's own testimony, record concerning what He has accomplished through His Son, Jesus Christ, in order that you might be saved from your sin, from your sinful deeds, and from the consequences, the outworking of that sin, even the damnation of hell. Copy of God's Word is offered to you this afternoon freely. Yours to take and do with as you will. If you'd like a copy, then you come and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hands. Word of God, of course, it's like the Gospel is offered to you freely, without cost, obligation, without price to you. Gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ, Son of God, who came, who lived and loved and died in order that sinners like you might be reconciled to God. The Bible says concerning its own testimony, the psalmist of Israel, he says in the book of Psalms, therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. More precious than gold, more precious than fine gold, the estimation, the testimony of the psalmist of Israel concerning the Word of God, concerning the Holy Scriptures. The Bible is called the Holy Bible. Scriptures are called the Holy Scriptures because they come from a holy God. God who made man in His own image. In His own image of holiness, that is. But of course, an image now lost, destroyed. Sin has ravaged man's being. No longer righteous, no longer holy, no longer fit for God, no longer fit for purpose, and no longer fit for heaven. But the Bible, the Word of God, more precious than gold, than fine gold. Why? Because it gives you the answer to man's greatest problem, supplies man's greatest need, salvation, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and through Him alone. Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. Bible contains God's law, His holy law, that reflects the holy character of God, which of course you to a man, to a woman, are contrary to. This is the indictment God has against all humankind, all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. And what is sin but transgression of the holy law of God. Disobedient rebels come into the world, born, conceived in sins as God. Sinners by nature, therefore, sinners, lawbreakers by practice, can be and can do no other. It is your natural state, says God. State in which you're born, the state in which you're conceived. How can you do any other but sin, lest your nature be changed, that is. Of course, that's why Jesus Christ says, you must be born again. Your nature must be supernaturally, miraculously changed. No desire for God. No desire for His law. No desire for holiness. No desire for anything good, righteous. None whatsoever. Desire is only for sin and more sin. The evil and the wickedness of your nature is expressed in all your practices, in all your doings. There is none good, says God, no, not one. None righteous, altogether unprofitable, gone astray from God. Lawbreakers, covenant breakers, separated from God as a result of your iniquities, your transgressions. God's law, God's precepts, statutes, testimonies, His commandments here, more better than gold, than even than fine gold, says the psalmist. More precious, why? Because they testify of Jesus Christ. They point you to Jesus Christ. Commandments of God, law of God was never given to save you, never given to put you right with God. You cannot keep them. You have no desire to keep them. You could not keep them even if you did desire, even if you wanted to, even if you tried, you could never do so. Because of that sinful nature in which you were born, in which you were conceived. So what were the commandments of God? What were they given for? They were given to teach you what kind of a sinner it is that you are. To show you how far short of the mark you come. To show you how contrary you are to the mind of God, the character of God. They were given to drive you out of yourself, to show you that there is no hope in yourself, no power in yourself to do any good, as far as God's concerned, to do anything that is pleasing to God. I mean, what have you that you could possibly offer to God by way of sacrifice? Everything that you are, touch, everything you think and do is marred by sin. All you are is just a lump of walking, breathing, talking sin. Everything, absolutely everything about you is tainted with sin. Your righteousness is, says God, are like filthy rags in His sight, untouchable. God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. How could He possibly look upon you yourself in your state of sin, in your natural born condition of sin and wickedness, lest there be a change? And that change must come on your part, not God's. For God changes not. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And His testimony, the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, is the same yesterday, today and forever as He is. No, friends, the change, it must come on your part. You must be changed in a way that you yourself cannot perform, that only God Himself can bring about. You must be born again. And for you, this is an impossibility. is the work of God, not of the will of man, not of the flesh. Of God, you must be born of God. God must do it. God alone can put the life of God into your soul. God alone can put the love of God into your heart. God alone can change your nature. Miracle that's needed. Oh, you can be religious. Any man, any woman can be religious. That takes no effort, that takes no power from God. You don't need my instruction for that. Just go to the synagogue, the mosque, the temple. Take your pick. Be as religious as you please. But that won't change your nature. That won't make you a new creation. That won't change the desires of your heart to love God, to love His commandments, to love His word. That won't change you in the least. No, friends. You must, as Jesus says, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. Word of God, friends, God's breathed out word, it comes from God, from the very mouth of God. When you read the Bible, you're reading, you're listening to God speaking to you. The method, the means by which God, the only means by which God speaks to men in these days. Not voices in your head, not the ramblings, not the incoherent ramblings of some so-called Mr. Middle Eastern prophet. No, friends, the revelation of God, the testimony, record of God given to us in the Holy Bible, in the Word of God, the record concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, how He would send Him into the world, how He was sent, why He was sent. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. No need for God to condemn you. No need for I to condemn you. You're already condemned, says God, because you have not believed in the name of God's only Son. That's the condemnation. Your unbelief, refusal to believe in God. His testimony, His record says that you know that God is. You ask for proof, you ask for evidence. Prove to me God exists. No, you say. No, most definitely not. You have all the proof you need, all the evidence you need. You know that God is just as much, just the same as I do. But you suppress that truth, says God. You may call yourself an atheist. God says there is no such thing on planet Earth. You suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness and wickedness, according to your nature. You refuse the testimony of God. You refuse the Son of God. You refuse the knowledge of God. You reject the salvation of God, the power of God. Man or woman subscribes to this unjustifiable philosophy that there is no God. God opens the door, in effect, says to you, okay, on you go, through you go. He gives you a push, He gives you a shove through the door. You don't want my love. You don't want my power. You don't want my blessings. You don't want my goodness. Off you go. I'll give you over to another power. I'll give you over to the power of self. And friends, worst thing that can befall any human being on this planet, I tell you, is for God to give them over to what they want. To give them over to the God of self. To a debased might to do things that ought not to be done, that you know ought not to be done, but you continue in them, in your unbelief, in your godlessness, you continue on to do them. But I warn you, friends, you're faced with the wrath of God. You're already under the wrath of God because of your suppression of the truth of the knowledge of God. This is the record concerning God's Word, His testimony in Holy Scripture. The wrath of God is being revealed against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. Some men use evolution to do it. Some men use religion to do it. False religion, idolatrous religion, Islam, Roman Catholicism, Buddhism, Confucianism, every world religion known to you, New Ageism, anything but the truth, anything but the revelation of God. But friends, all you're doing is simply suppressing the truth that you know, you already know, that God is the true and living God, that is, who made heaven and earth and everything in it, who made you and has a rightful sovereign claim upon you and over you. The Bible, the Word of God, the testimony, the record of God. Great in its antiquity, the oldest book in the world. Goes right back to the beginning of time. Goes right back to the very beginning. First, an authoritative statement. You read in God's Word in the Bible, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. You say, how do you know that God made the heavens and the earth? Because God tells us so. You argue, you see, it was evolution. You see, there was some kind of magical explosion, some pop, you know. You don't know where the chemicals came from, you know, to make the bang, but the bang just happened. It just happened to happen out of nothing. And that bang, it produced everything, you know. Oh, you see, so many billion years ago, and you ask me, well, how do I know different? I know different because I know somebody who was there in the beginning, and who in the beginning spoke the universe by power into being, and even this very day sustains the universe and human life, and holds your very next breath in the palm of His hand. The God who created you, who made you, who sustained you, and the God who one day will bring you to breathe your last, and then you will stand before Him, not with shock and amazement. Oh, I didn't know that you existed. You knew all along that God existed. Oh, yes, you did. The shock and awe will not be the fact that God is. The shock and awe will be that you're in the presence of a holy and sin-hating God who will usher you out of His presence for all eternity in the damnation of hell. That's the shock and awe that you will be faced with in that day. For it is appointed for man once to die. And after this, you see, what comes next? We don't know. No one ever came back to tell us. Yes, He did. Jesus Christ did, and He tells you plainly in His Word. After this, then comes the judgment. So, you see, friends, the record, the testimony, God's holy Word, you know. Finer than gold, than fine gold, you know. And all these years down through the ages, divinely preserved, men and women, kings, rulers, princes, nations even, have tried to banish the Bible, the Word of God, tried to erase it from their midst, tried to disprove it, clever men, with more letters after their name than in the alphabet. And of course, no one yet has ever succeeded either in disproving or destroying the Word of God. It continues on. And just as Jesus Christ says, my Word shall abide forever, shall never be gotten rid of. Why? Why can men not get rid of it? Why can hateful, God-hating and His Word-hating men and women, why can they not be rid of the Bible? Because the power of God lies behind it. That's why. Divine power, miraculous power that preserves it in every day and generation. Communistic nations have tried to ban the Bible. Former Soviet Union, China today, North Korea. The last book in the world that they want in their midst, but they still can't get rid of it, they still can't destroy it, they still can't erase it from their midst. It carries on, it goes on conquering the souls of men and women, causing them to be born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Power of God lies behind it. It's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. It's God's dynamite. How can a puny man, however clever, however high and lifted up he thinks he might be, how could he possibly overcome the power of God? And it is through the power of God for salvation for those who believe. For those who accept, receive the record, the testimony of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. All the cleverness of man can't get rid of it. All the cleverness of man can't disprove the truth of God's Word. Cannot, friends. They've tried again and again. Recall the story of two very clever men. Oxbridge, you know, the type, very clever, and they sat down with their books and they were going to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ once and for all. Guess what happened? At the end of their studies, both of them were converted. They couldn't stand before the evidence, the wisdom of God in the gospel. That's why it can't be destroyed. That's why it can't be erased. That's why the Word of God, the Bible, continues on in every generation, whatever unbelieving, wicked, godless men do. My Word shall abide forever. God has miraculously preserved it until this time, and He shall do to the end. And it contains these wonderful, wonderful, I tell you, better than gold, better than fine gold, glorious revelations about God. You want to know what God is like? Well, it's not the Quran that you go to. It's not the mumblings of Buddha that you go to. You want to know about God? You want to know what the invisible God is like? Well, you go to the Bible. It's a revelation of God, of His character, His holiness, His beauty, His splendor, His power, His majesty. But it's also a revelation, of course, of yourself and myself, of mankind, what He's truly like. Or you look in the mirror, on the wall that is, and it tells you the same lie each and every time. It tells you you're the fairest of them all. But when you look into the mirror of God's law, it tells you something different. It seems beyond, it seems beneath the outer image, the clothes, the hairdo, the makeup. It sees right into your heart. And what God sees there in your heart is something different to what you confess. Oh, you say, I'm a good person. God ought to have me. God ought to allow me into heaven. Really? What God sees, what's reflected in the mirror of God's law, is something different. A heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He sees a liar. He sees a thief. He sees an adulterer. He sees a spiritual whore. Friends, oh friends, you live with the delusion that you're a good person. And the end of that's the judgment of God. There's none good. Only God is good, says Jesus. No, friends, not a single one of us. All ungodly, born that way, live that way, and die that way. Unless you're born again, unless by the Spirit of God your heart is circumcised, unless God takes the heart of stone out of you and gives you a heart of flesh, unless God changes your nature, your practice will not change either. Better than gold, than fine gold. Yes, a wonderful revelation of God and of mankind, what He's truly like, but of Jesus Christ as well. The Son of God, the lovely Son of God who came into the world, who so loved the world that He came and lived and loved and died, rose again from the dead, who suffered at the hands of evil and wicked men in order that you might be saved, that your nature might be changed, that you might be born again, that you might be made a new creature in Jesus Christ, and that you might indeed be reconciled to God, made fit for God and fit for heaven. But only through Christ, only through God's testimony, the record concerning His Son Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No other name, says the Bible. God's testimony, His record. No other name under the whole canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. Name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, Savior and Lord. Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. But friends, the estimation of the saints throughout the entirety of the Bible, they testify one after the other, you know. Word of God, spiritual, you know. Better than gold, than fine gold, as the psalmist, as he says, gold. I mean, what's gold worth? You know, it's earthly, it's material. The Word of God is heavenly, it's spiritual. Gold can only benefit you temporarily. The Word of God will bestow upon you that which will benefit you eternally, everlastingly. Silver and gold have I none but what I offer to you. Oh, the gospel, the everlasting gospel, eternal life in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. What could be more precious, more valuable, of more benefit to you than that? Gold is mutable, changeable, perishable, but the Word of God abides forever. I urge you, peruse, meditate upon it, study the Word of God, see for yourself that these things are so. But you must submit yourself to it in heart and life. That is God's testimony. You must receive the living Word of God, not just the written Word. The living Word, Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, the Son of God, born of a woman, made under the law, who came, lived and died on that cross shed his blood in order that you might be washed and made clean, the filth of your sin removed, and made a new person, a new creature in Jesus Christ. Oh, the benefits that out of this world, friends, you might live off the benefit system here in the United Kingdom. I'm told that many people can make a good living out of it. But I tell you this, friends, without the Word of God, you have no benefit from God. Without faith in the testimony of God, without faith in the Son of God, you have no benefits at all, but the Word of God can benefit you greatly, increasing knowledge of God and the way of salvation. You cannot be saved without the Word of God. It's an impossibility. For it is given for the Holy Scriptures, which have the ability that no other book has, that no other writings has, the Quran or any other religious book has. The Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, which is able, has the ability to make you wise for salvation. I mean, here you are today and you don't even know, understand the simple ABCs of the Gospel, let alone the deep mysteries of God. How can you be saved without knowledge? I tell you again and again, you cannot do science without knowledge. You keep throwing this in my face. You say, science, science, science. How can you do science without knowledge? How can you justify knowledge from a material, natural universe? It's impossible, friends. You do not get knowledge out of matter. Knowledge comes from an intelligent mind. And that mind is God. That knowledge is given, revealed to you by God. That's why you can do science, philosophy, chemistry, and all the other wonderful things that men do. But equally, how can you be saved without knowledge? How can you come to a knowledge of God without knowledge? A knowledge of salvation without knowledge? This is impossible. And friends, the knowledge is imparted to you through the Word of God. The Word of God written, preserved for you, given to you, presented to you, offered to you this afternoon. Able to make you wise, not so much clever. Oh, you got plenty of that. Cleverness abounds amongst you. You know all kinds of things, argue about all kinds of philosophical matters, but no knowledge of what you really ought to know, God's way of salvation. The Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, which is able to make you wise, not clever, but wise for salvation. It's the wisdom of God that's needed in this generation. Benefit, better than gold, than fine gold, increasing in holiness. How to live, renounce worldly passions, sinful pleasures. By the power of God's grace in the gospel that transforms and changes men and women, makes them holy in character, holy in practice, increasing all the way through their lives, through the Word of God, through the testimony of God, the written Word of God made available to you, offered to you. And all friends, increasing in happiness. Gold might make you happy for a season, but should you lose it, you know, should you die, then you're eternally miserable. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, says Jesus? What would you do with it? Where would you go? You only live in one place at a time. What profit would it be to you should you lose your soul at the end of the day, if God should require your soul of you? What profit is it in gold? In the Word of God, and the Holy Scriptures and the testimony of God, the record of God, better than gold, even fine gold, much, much better, because these Holy Scriptures have the ability to make you happy, not just in time, to bless you, to make you a blessed person, a happy person that is spiritually happy, because your sins are forgiven, and because you got a home in heaven, eternal, not just temporary happiness, not just happiness because things are going well with you, not the happiness because you got booze inside you, not the happiness because you got money in the bank or money to spend, the happiness that comes from knowing that God smiles upon you, knowing that you're favored of God, forgiven of God, knowing that you have eternal life. But for that you need the Bible, you need the Word of God. It alone has the ability to bring you to that place. The Bible, of course, points you in the right direction towards the way, the truth, the life, Jesus even. He who commands you, repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. That of which the Bible speaks. Seek the Lord while he may be found, he says. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him think God's thoughts after him, contained in the Word of God, the Holy Scripture. Repent, command of Jesus. First words recorded, Jesus in the Bible, the New Testament of the Bible. Repent and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Can't enter God's kingdom without it. Gifts of God, both of them. Can't do it yourself. Repent. No more repent than you can pull yourself up by your good places yourself. Believe, you can't believe unless God gives it to you. Gifts of God, my friend. Repent and believe the gospel. So why did Jesus tell you to do so if you cannot do yourself? To bring you to that place of crying out to him, what must I do to be saved? Cry out to him, call upon his name. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Cry out to him. Ask him to give you the gifts of repentance and faith. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened up to you. Call upon his name today. Repent and believe the gospel. Kingdom of God is at hand. Like a car.